As you know, Californians, or Angelenos in particular, voted for Measure M, which gives the city of Los Angeles something that almost no other city has at this time, which is an unlimited source in perpetuity of funding for mass transit projects. Is that going to result in a state-of-the-art mass transit system for the most traffic-snarled city in the country and one of the most traffic-snarled cities in the world? Or is it just going to be another boondoggle? Let's find out from a guy who is an expert, a world expert on urban life and specifically Los Angeles. He's one of our faves. He wrote a piece in the Daily Beast called "Will Donald Trump Expose America's Great Mass Transit Hoax?" It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Joel Kotkin. Joel, welcome back. How are you?
Nice to be here.
And, of course, teaches at Chapman University in the beautiful city of Orange. So Measure M dollars gives Los Angeles a source of funding for transit projects that would be the envy, really, of pretty much any city on earth and certainly any American city. And where do we go with this? Are we spending it wisely, or are we about to, you know, go off on pet projects like, you know, safer streets and bike lanes and all this other stuff?
Well, there's no question where it's going. I mean, look, somebody ought to look at the evidence. If we have spent $15 to $16 billion on, you know, particularly mostly on sort of the light rail subway projects, and the percentage of people, the share of people taking transit has dropped, maybe we should be thinking, are we doing the right thing? Are we spending this money correctly? I mean, the vision that we now have for L.A., frankly, is to turn it into some sort of dense transit-riding city, but it doesn't work because people don't – transit doesn't meet the needs of most people unless you live – along the line and you are going downtown, it's pretty worthless. You know, I mean, we can see because the numbers are so poor, but we could be investing in new technologies. You know, certainly, you know, Uber, Lyft, dial-a-ride services. We could, you know, help with the buses, which are, you know, really serve the people who really, you know, really have to use transit and is much more flexible. But instead, we're going to build this. And frankly, I think it's, you know, who's behind it? I mean, part of it is, you know, sort of Jerry Brown's, you know, anti-suburban mentality. Some of it is the fact that there are all these engineering companies and consultants who make money on these things. And the third thing is that there are these developers who, you know, even though it turns out that most people who live in, quote, transit-oriented developments don't even take transit, they can speculate on it, and by making it necessary that you have to have a strong transit connection, you sort of limited where things can be built. And so if you own property in areas that are designated as transit-friendly, you make a lot of money. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. This is nothing really to do with making mobility better. It's really all about, you know, money and an attempt, which – frankly, I think is now so far gone that I don't think there's any way of reversing it, is to turn L.A. into sort of this kind of high-density dystopia where it's extremely difficult to live unless you're very wealthy or you're dependent on the state.
Joel, let me ask you a bunch of questions because I supported Measure M because, you know, in Jerry Brown 1.0, when he was governor back 30-plus years ago, his model was everybody's here, so we don't have to build infrastructure anymore. And we didn't build it, and they came anyway. And all the demographers that I've talked to over the years are saying that the population of California will hit 50 million in a not-too-distant future. And we continue to widen, for instance, the 405, and before the project is even finished, it's obsolete because of just demographic growth. While I agree with you that the light rail system we currently have is inadequate because when you get off the train, you're still 5 miles or 10 miles from where you need to go. And until we have a feeder system like in Manhattan or New York City, you get off a train and it's a short walk to any place. And that's not the situation here, but we're building the system. So if you roll this out 20, 30 years in the future, I mean, we could have said the same thing about the Manhattan, the New York City subway system while it was under construction, that there were neighborhoods that it was completely impractical to use. But over time, it became unthinkable to have the city without a light rail system.
Look, I grew up in New York. Let me just tell you, first of all, much of the subway system, particularly in the outer boroughs, was built actually before there were very many people out there.
Right, and it made it possible for them to live there, because I grew up in New York, right, too. I lived on the 7 line, you know, for years, taking the train in from Shea Stadium.
But the reality is, and it's not just L.A., every city whose growth took place predominantly after 1950 that's built the transit system, they've all, almost everyone has failed. Almost everyone has seen a decline in people taking transit. It's not necessarily the transit's at fault. It's the way we're spending the money. It's what sort of technologies we're using, which are, you know, basically 19th century technologies. I mean, they even want to bring back trolleys, which are insane. It's 15 miles an hour. I don't think it's going to help very much. All the stuff that you've been talking about with the narrowing of the lanes and the stuff that Garcetti's doing, this is all part of the same thing. The goal of our current ruling class is to turn people into apartment dwelling transit riders. Taking away the very quality of life that
I don't disagree with you that, and we've argued this till we're blue in the face, that the blunder here is that the philosopher kings down there on Spring Street are taking lanes away and deliberately creating gridlock to harass people out of their cars to use a public transportation system that in many cases doesn't exist, which is insane. But the thing is, the city is getting there's no way to avoid the density. Either that, or Los Angeles will simply be a place where you're going to pay $3 million for a 2-bedroom fixture in Van Nuys. I mean, that's just where we're headed.
Well, but the reality is, when you talk about these demographic projections, actually the projections have been so far off, because I think the SCAG projections, if we go back, 20 or 30 years, about 3 million less people than they projected. When a place is expensive and its economy is not generating lots of great jobs, its population doesn't grow. LA's population growth rate is well below the national average now. We're not growing particularly quickly, actually. Immigration to Southern California is down. And here's a really interesting point, which I've written quite a bit about. We have had the biggest drop in the number of children of any metropolitan area in the country.
Yeah, that's because people can't afford to have a family here. They can't afford to have kids here, because if you want an extra bedroom, the house is going to cost you $800,000.
So right, exactly. And then, particularly in much of L.A. County, particularly in the L.A. city, the schools are not very good
either. Right, exactly.
So then you're probably adding, like, one of the reasons we moved to Orange County was because I didn't want to pay an extra $230,000 for my 13-year-old to go to school.
We're talking with Joel Kotkin, who's the presidential fellow in urban futures at Chapman University, and he wrote a piece with Wendell Cox for the Daily Beast called "Will Donald Trump Expose America's Great Mass Transit Hoax?" What do you mean by Donald Trump? What will President Trump's involvement in this? What could it be?
Well, unfortunately, that was the headline
that they wrote.
Clickbait.
I mean, I think Donald Trump is incapable of doing almost anything, so except annoying people. So, I don't think he's going to get anywhere. What I think may happen is there may be some greater skepticism about this idea that you can turn, the 21st century city into a 19th century city. I think that is something different. One of the things that kills me is there are no incentives, for instance, for people working at home. You want to reduce people on the road? A lot of people could work at home. They don't. When I used to live in Los Angeles and I worked at home, I had to pay a big tax for not driving, for not being contributing to all the congestion. So I think there are many ways that we could use new technologies to get where we want to go, and we're not doing that. We're doing something that has clearly not worked. I mean, If you read the paper that we recently did at Chapman, one of the things that's really interesting is all these systems are doing badly. Houston, Dallas, Atlanta, even Portland has seen a drop in the percentage of people who take transit. So something is wrong. And part of it is we don't live in a transit-oriented world anymore. places like what we call legacy cities, like New York, Boston, even to some extent San Francisco, were built before the car. And so their structures, they have much bigger downtowns. They have much more centralized employment. That's not the nature. Actually, in Southern California, we're dispersing employment because that's sort of the natural tendency. So we have to figure out a transit and transportation solution that makes sense to us instead of trying to duplicate what New York developed over 100 years ago.
Joel, thanks so much. We always appreciate when you come on. You can follow Joel Kotkin on Twitter at Joel Kotkin, K-O-T-K-I-N. Joel, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.